Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Lickety split fashion.
That's what they call me on the beat. Lickety split.
Lickety split weeder.
Dan Weeder.
We'll mention this mainly because Dan Weeder said we would mention this nugget.
Bears beat reporter for The Athletic.
I've been very amused this week that essentially the highest praise being paid to Caleb Williams is when we went back and watched the tape, he wasn't the biggest problem in a 31-point loss. Like, that's not why you draft a guy number one overall, to go back the next day and realize he wasn't the biggest problem in a blowout.
Co-host of the Take the North podcast.
Leading with the universe, the football gods, that the Bears, for once, just lose normally. Lose normally.
The merch should be available by Halloween. Just lose normally. You'll get your sweatshirts, your hoodies, everything else you need.
Dan Weeder.
Is it a little awkward to see him this weekend?
No. With Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Our conversations with Dan Weeder are brought to you by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS. And as a matter of fact, it's a Football Friday, which is brought to you by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. Football Friday is also presented by your local Ford dealers. Dan, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it. The injury report, how bad is it?
Well, I think it's as predictably bad as we thought it was going to be. On defense, you knew that Jalen Johnson, Kyler Gordon, and T.J. Edwards were going to be out this week. You add Jalen Jones to that mix. I think there was some encouraging news on Friday here with Grady Jarrett being a full participant in today's practice and not carrying an injury designation into Sunday, which means he's got a green light. DeAndre Swift, questionable, but has been able to go in practice each of the last 3 days in limited fashion. So you'd expect him to be able to get out there on Sunday and give things a whirl. And so now it is a real challenge for Dennis Allen to put that defense together in a way that can create a bounce back after that miserable performance at Ford Field last week.
How much have the injuries in the secondary and with TJ affected what Dennis Allen can do with his pass rush creativity?
Well, I mean, it's not necessarily the pass rush creativity, but you're not getting any late pressure because the ball's out and it's to someone open and they're really pretty widely open in a lot of cases here. So this whole rush and coverage marriage that has to be so harmonious for a defense like this to be good has been a mess through the first 2 weeks and really the last five quarters specifically. And so you've got to just find answers and you've got to be honest with yourself about the limitations that you have, both personnel wise and then what's up front. It's not personnel. It's just you're not getting things done. And so you better find ways to create some of that consistent pressure because this slate of quarterbacks that they're playing against, these veterans that are pretty smooth and calm back there, have an opportunity to pick you apart if you're not going to put any heat on them.
Yeah, what's the danger of having to maybe play mad scientist here? If that's where you end up, we're like, well, I've got to do stuff that's kind of outside of my purview. How does that end up looking against a guy like Dak?
Yeah, it's a tightrope when you're trying to figure out how to correct without overcorrecting, you know, and so a lot of that comes down to what you can do on the fly and really understanding who you are. It's why the practice week is so important to get a feel for what are we capable of this week against this specific opponent. And so we'll see what responses Dennis Allen has. Look, like he's done it for a long time. He's done it at a high level for a long time. And so you would not expect last Sunday to become the norm. You would figure that it's an outlier of sorts, but until they show with several consecutive performances that it is something that is an outlier. We have to just kind of sit on the edge of our seats and go, please don't let this be the identity of the 2025 Bears defense.
What are some moves that you expect Dennis Allen might consider and we might even see? Does Shamar Turner dress this Sunday?
It'll be interesting to see what their rotation looks like up front, for sure, and what's there. I just think at times a defense that relies very heavily on man-to-man coverage might need to mix in some zone looks just to take some pressure off of Tyreek Stevenson and Deshaun Wright from having to cover really, really good players for an entire game and be asked to, you know, shut them down. I mean, CeeDee Lamb, George Pickens, and Jake Ferguson, I think, combined for like 23 catches and 256 yards last week, right? So you've got two proven receivers and a really good tight end that the quarterback's comfortable with, and you better find a way to limit each of them in their own respective ways. And it's really hard to ask your guys to, you know, keep up with CeeDee Lamb for an entire afternoon at Soldier Field. And so what answers you find to help with that, we'll see what Dennis brings to the table. One thing I do know for sure is next Thursday, we're going to ask Dennis Allen some questions about Sunday's game.
Yes, it's true. And if he is upset about that, then he needs to take it up with the scheduling of when coaches talk, because there are plenty of teams that allow their coordinators to talk sooner than Thursday. So perhaps he should take it up with the people who schedule it.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm not in this to aggravate anybody. You know, I don't think that they want to be aggravated. So let's just find a solution that works, you know, and we'll see where it goes. Like, but it does kind of reflect back on everything that's been happening here. The only way to get the temperature in this building to turn down a little bit is to have a win, you know, mm-hmm. and I know that there's 20 new players on the roster and the coaching staff wasn't here last year, but there is still last year vibes in this building. I promise you that. And it's not good, because you want to extinguish those as fast as possible. And the only way to do it is to get some positive energy in the building in the form of a victory. And Sunday's an opportunity to get one.
What did you make of Ben Johnson seemingly setting some standards for what practice should look like if you want to dress or get more opportunities?
Look, I like the way that Ben is a red ass at times, you know, and really has things that he wants his team to commit to. And he's unwavering with those things. And I think that's the way that you get out of mediocrity being acceptable for an organization like this that has really kind of embraced its mediocrity for as long as I've covered them, for sure, and longer beyond that. And so it takes a shakeup every once in a while. It takes somebody to say things out loud, both in front of the team and in front of the media, to kind of get people's attention. Now, I think over time, you've got to find the ways that you connect with this specific team and the ways that gets their attention the best. And I think Ben's probably still kind of working through that and figuring that out. But look, like, let's call it what it is. This team has been bad for a long time. It's trying to find its way out of the wilderness. And the only way to do so is to have higher standards and to stay committed to those standards.
Yeah, I mean, and get comfortable being uncomfortable is one of the first things he said. And he was directing that to the players. So I'm all good with a little honesty and a little disruption here at the beginning. What'd you make of Grady Jarrett's response to it? I mean, that's a veteran who has played well at times in his career, but he's not this year. Granted, a little unhealthy. You know, and are there others who were, you know, maybe miffed, if not at Ben, then just sort of at the idea of not practicing well?
Grady's one of the guys in this building that I don't really worry much about, because he's a guy that, you know, he gets out of the car in the morning and the passion is pumping through him. Right. And so he's going to bring it every day. And so, you know, I can see why a guy like that would be like, wait a second, are you talking about me, or who are we talking about here, and trying to figure out what exactly is out there. He's a captain of this football team as well, though, Spiegs. And so those guys have to set the tone through example, through messaging, through whatever it takes to get things going in the right direction. You know, like, I don't want the outside world to think that this has just been a disaster in terms of their practice habits and their commitment and all those things. But it's clearly not been good enough. And when you lay an egg like they laid an egg in Detroit, everybody's got to understand that you've got to elevate, and that this is a different animal of trying to resurrect this football team that's been through so much losing for so long that sometimes that doubt kind of becomes contagious and the snowball gets going in the wrong direction really quick.
With 0-2, there's going to be spotlight on a lot of things that have gone wrong for the Bears. But when I think about these three positions, left tackle, running back, edge, and I know that they went and paid Dio Dangbo to help them out on the edge, it really makes me think, Dan, that their offseason plan was really terrible. Because you're sitting there still unsure about left tackle. Your running back room is ridiculously depleted. And then you're not getting a pass rush. And I granted, you had given away a lot of money to guys that you thought you were going to get a pass rush from. It just seems like some of the stuff that's plagued them organizationally over the last couple of years are still rearing their ugly head now.
I've got issues with the way that this offensive line has been put together at the tackle positions a little bit, just because it hasn't been up to standard. And you hear from Ben Johnson today, asked about kind of the two-game performance evaluation of Braxton Jones, and he's still wavering and waffling. And, you know, every week we're going to figure out if it's good enough to keep the job. And you don't want to do that every week. You want to have some certainty and some stability up there. Darnell Wright, another guy, Mark Grody and I just got off our latest episode of the Take the North podcast, listening to some comments that Dan Rashard made on Thursday about getting more consistency out of Darnell Wright. When he's good, he's good. And when he's bad, it's bad. And that he tends to drift both within practices and within games. And they're trying to correct that. And so those are two pieces up front on your offensive line that you've got to get stabilized really, really quickly if you want to become the type of offense that you want to become. I would have hoped that they would have used this offseason to address left tackle and running back a little bit better. They thought they had an answer in Ozzie Trapillo. They were wrong. They went out and spent some good money on Dio Dangbo. Haven't had the return on investment on that yet after two games. And so eventually it's not a product of, oh, they didn't invest enough. It's just they invested the wrong way. And that's where it gets really damning on the people making the personnel decisions and their ability to know what they need and how to get what they need.
You just said it, and Dan Weider is with us, Dan from The Athletic on Spiegel and Holmes here on The Score. They thought they had a left tackle possibility in Trapillo, and they were wrong. How much of that can we put on Poles as opposed to Ben? Not to make it binary necessarily, but did Poles win that conversation to say Ozzie's a left, and then they get to practice and the coaches are like, oh, by the way, no, he's not? Because the coaches were in charge clearly by the time they got to practice and camp. But, you know, so the tendency then is to give it to Poles on draft day, and then the coaches are the ones who rise up and say, yeah, no.
Well, yeah, and they say no because they go through weeks of practice and they're like, oh, well, it's he's not playing with the level of confidence and certainty that we thought he'd have, and it doesn't look like we want it to look, and we can't just continue to try to force the issue there. And so, look, I would be stunned if Ben was heavily involved in setting that draft board for April. He got here in late January. He had to spend the first couple of weeks there putting a staff together. I don't know the first time that he started really, you know, diving deep on prospects and in the tape of what they were looking for in April. And so, like, however that board was set, I'm very curious to know how they wound up where they wound up in certain instances. We've talked a lot about being one pick away from both Kelvin Banks and Trevion Henderson and what it would have meant to this team if they would have been able to get both of those guys in the building and how different these conversations that we've been having might be. The fact of the matter today is that you've got to work with what you've got. And right now it's clear, particularly with Ozzie and Braxton and Theo Benedict and now Karan Amagaji's out again, like they didn't have the right players here to answer the question that was staring them in the face at left tackle.
Is there any other way to read this? Like, is Ben trying to force Ozzie to realize he's got to step up in practice habits or something like that? Because it's a disaster if you pick a kid in the second round who can't be a left tackle when you already have a right tackle who you took in the first. It's a disaster.
Well, you have to develop him now, right? Like, so now you've come face to face with who he is as a player, and now it's on you as a coaching staff to address that and get the best out of him, whatever position that may be. But if it is a premium asset used on a backup, a swing tackle, then that's a disaster. There's no question. You don't take guys in the second round to be backups. You take them to become building blocks for your football team. And so, you know, the evolution of this offensive line isn't over, I think, is what I would say. And we've kind of got to allow for this season to play out in a certain way and revisit this at the midway point and revisit it as we go into December and then kind of figure out what direction it's all headed.
Dan, were you the guy that asked about well, maybe Darnell should move to left tackle because Ozzie's clearly a right tackle. I can't remember if that was you or not, but that discussion seemed to be poo-pooed at the time by Ben Johnson, and I wonder if it's something that they would reconsider, although considering the way that Darnell has played right tackle, maybe not.
I don't think it's something they'd reconsider because I don't think they believe that he's got the ideal skill set for that side and to protect the blind side there. They look like there's some things they love about Darnell Wright and the way he gets out in space and the way that they can use him with the athleticism at his size to do things in Ben's offense that are really good. But look, like they hinted in the offseason that they were maybe going to try Darnell on the left side, and then they never did. And then they tried four other guys, and they didn't get the answers they wanted from the four other guys. And it's a position that it becomes under the microscope really fast when you're 0-2. You know, and so yeah, all of these things will become a little bit less stressful if you can just win a few games over these next few games. And they've got some winnable games on the schedule coming up. And so, you know, coaching staff's job is to get guys to take a deep breath, to lock in, to understand that week's plan, and to occasionally get yourself that breath of fresh air that comes with a victory Monday. You know, and so maybe Monday will allow us to turn our lens to how about those five good things that went right against the Cowboys, and for a week everybody in the building feels a little bit lighter, and it takes some of the pressure off of the climb that you're trying to make as a team.
God's ears, baby. God's ears. Let's roll. Because Dan, I woke up picturing a crowd booing at Soldier Field as the Bears go 0-3. And Matt Eberflus is grinning with his fist in the air as he runs off the field.
Were you sweating? Were you having heart palpitations when you woke up with that vision?
Because I shook my head. I shook my head, and I went back to sleep.
It's a tough vision to have, and it's a realistic vision, and I think that's why it's a little scary here this week. Why it's a little edgy here this week. You know, I said earlier this week that this is a classic case of home field disadvantage, right? Mm-hmm. Because your crowd is going to be so damn edgy that if you get in a hole early and your offense, you know, goes three and out for three of its first four drives, like, you guys know, you've been in that building. You know what it's like when it gets like that. The tension is really, really thick, and it's hard to get past. And so, you know, for me, this is an if not now, then when game. And so it's like, you better meet that moment as a team. You better understand what it is. You better understand the ramifications of how different 1-2 are from 0-3. And you better approach every damn snap on Sunday with that type of urgency.
What do you think matters from the incremental progress of Caleb from week one to week two?
From what we saw from week one to two, you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, look, like, I think that there are things that the coaching staff believes are improving in a way where you're like, okay, I can see it. The marriage of the feet and the eyes, you know, the ability to play on time, to understand what that play is designed to do and to get there and to hit some explosive completions by doing so. There were some things in that tape on Sunday that were encouraging. What I say, and you guys have heard me say it before, is eventually the slope of this growth curve has got to start angling upwards. It can't be so damn flat for a number one overall pick. And so they've got to find answers to get that unlocked with what they do, both with the advancement of their offensive scheme and what else they're able to pile in week after week into that week's game plan, and with the way the quarterback plays. And so, you know, like, growth is good, and it's going to get Caleb the pats on the back, but none of us are here for the pats on the back. Everyone is here to see him eventually become the guy that is clearly showing that he's the engine of why this team's going where it needs to go. With that said, I've said it 100 times that the patience level here, my arbitrary timeline is 4 weeks, bye reset, 3 more weeks in October, and then let's get to, you know, week 9 and say, what does this look like? What does this honest progress report of Caleb Williams look like? And at that point, I think that the conversation needs to get more serious, and those who aren't willing to get more serious with it are just a little shaky with what they see.
I think that's fair, and I'm, you know, and I'm definitely going to try and stay more measured about Caleb in that regard, that kind of time frame. I found week one so jarring, And I got very emotional in my reaction that week one because I think I realized, frankly, what it looked like Ben realized, like how far away
Correct.
Things are.
It didn't help right? that fourth quarter of J.J. McCarthy was staring you in the face, too.
You're absolutely right, Lawrence, but it was also the momentum of feeling that whole game slip away, so that was part of it. But it's the realization, like, I thought they were going to be able to skip some steps, and they're clearly not.
Yep,
and correct. And that's I didn't think that was necessarily going to be the case for the number one overall pick with this level of talent, but that is the reality. So now let's deal with what we have, right?
And that's it, right? Like, the breakthrough is not imminent, and it's going to take longer than everyone expected. And so now, how do you acknowledge that reality, and how do you respond to that reality? And I think that's coaching 101, right? It's not you know, being, oh, woe is me, I thought we had something different here. It's, this is what we have, and now it's our job to work with what we have to get the best out of it week after week after week in a way that produces development and produces growth. And that's why you married this very accomplished offensive mind who's a great play caller with a very talented quarterback, because you think that there are results that can be squeezed out of that. And so we're going to give them more than two games to get those results, but over time we're also going to be asking for real results with that bar that you guys set earlier in the hit here. That's not coming down. The bar is set high. Clear the damn bar.
Dan, as always, we appreciate you. Thank you for the time.
You got it. Enjoy the weekend, boys.
That's Dan Wiederer. He's doing a great job for The Athletic now. That's where he's covering the Bears, so you can read him over at The Athletic. We're going to talk a little baseball in the next segment, and we have an update for you. Next Thursday, you can join The Score and Budweiser live from 2 to 6 at Old Crow in Wrigleyville. So we're doing a show swap. We're actually doing two kind of show swaps next week, but this one is a full show swap. They're going to be at Old Crow in Wrigleyville. Rahimi, Harris, and Grody are holding down our time slot as we get ready for our trip to Vegas. They'll be on from 2 until 6. Here's what I'm told. I'm told that you want to be at that thing. I'm told that you want to be at Old Crow. I'm not going to tell you why. But okay. I'm telling you, you want to be there because you'll want to register to win special prizing from Budweiser and say hello before the Cubs game.
Hmm. Yep. So can I be there? No, I cannot.
No.
Because we're gonna be on flight. Because we got to go to Vegas. Poor us. We have to go to Vegas.
Poor us. We have to go to Stadium Swim and hang out there and watch football at 6 in the morning because that's the first Europe game that Sunday that the Bears play the Raiders.
Oh, that's tremendous.
So you get a 6 a.m. wake-up call with football.
And Lawrence, I got to go. I'm going to go to see The Wizard of Oz at the Sphere with Mitch Rosen on Saturday afternoon.
He's been trying to invite everyone to that, and you guys can go and do your LSD and go and enjoy The Wizard
listen,
of Oz.
I'm going to be stone cold sober for a lot of reasons, but whatever Mitch is on, I'm going to be observing him. I'm going to be like Alan Lomax in the wild, taking field notes, checking out Mitch Rosen on whatever he's on at The Wizard of Oz at the Sphere. I'll be like, the subject was very aroused by the flying monkeys intellectually. The subject was grinning ear to ear as the witch went across the sky on her broom. So I'll report back with those field notes on our weekend at Vegas.
I love it. We're going to take a break. When we come back, let's talk Cubs playoff rotation. Speaks thinks that he's figured some things out. We'll see if we're on the same page next here on The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Or Spiegel and Holmes.
Pat Tomasulo.
Well, look, I've had a good run.
You're the oldest. We could eliminate you. tribute to Cyrus would go on. They'd find somebody else.
Hey, wait a minute.
Afternoons on the Score.
This is the difficult time of the year for starting pitching. It's not just Cubs starting pitching. It's everybody starting pitching. You're, you know, a bunch of innings in. This is where the starters really, you know, earn their keep, so to speak. And this is where, this is why we're there in early February, you know, for the starters. So this is where, this is the tough time of the season for the starters. And that's true, like, around the league, I think. You know, we're doing everything we can, but we also, you know, the things that are different are, this is a, you got 13 pitchers, we got to cover nine innings every night, and so we have to do that as well. So we're gonna, you know, we've put together plans to do that the best way possible, and win baseball games, and we'll continue to do that.
Cubs manager Craig Counsell talking about how rough it is to get to the end of a 162-game season, although there were two really good starts that he witnessed last night in Cincinnati, yeah, in the hangover game for the Cubs.
Colin Ray with maybe the best start of his career. 11 strikeouts, 7 innings, just the one run.
But and then on the other side,
Hunter Green, man, he's probably kicking himself for throwing 3 straight sliders to Seiya Suzuki, who turned on the third one and wrapped it down the line for a double. That's the only hit. They couldn't catch up to his fastball all night long. And he changed it up and mixed it up with other stuff. But, man, that dude, he's one hit away from a no-hitter. And indeed it was the hangover game. It seems like that was the case. Lawrence, I want to talk playoff rotation. Do you want to tell people what you would do? Because here's what we got. We've got what you would do. We've got what I would do. And then we've got what we think Craig's going to do. And I think I've locked in on what I think Craig is going to do. So that's where I'm coming from in this segment.
Okay. I would start Cade Horton in game one. And here's why. He's been Bob Gibson since the All-Star break. And I would like to make the Padres or whomever very uncomfortable. By the way, the White Sox can do the Cubs a solid this weekend with the Padres being in town. But I would start Cade Horton in game one. I'd start Shota, and then I'd hope that I don't have to pitch Matthew Boyd until ideally game one of an NLDS. That's okay. What I'd do.
And what I would do is I would start Shota game one and Cade Horton game two. And your Matthew Boyd and I, Matthew Boyd theory, you and I lockstep on that. I would do Shota game one, and I'm here to say I think that's what Craig's going to do, and I'll be very surprised if he doesn't.
Because of all of the experience in Japan? And now, technically, like, now he's pitched, he's a veteran here now, too.
Yeah, so there's a couple factors. I think Shota gets game one because of all the big game experience, you know, all those years in Japan, a 2-time All-Star in Japan, played international ball for Japan in both 2019 and 2023, including starting the clinching game of the World Baseball Classic in 2023. That is a huge game that he rose to the challenge of. He also beat Otani in the Japan game, in the game in Tokyo, in the Tokyo series. So he started that game and rose to that challenge. Shota is a guy who, you know, is going to be incredibly solid and you can trust. The other thing is that the Padres are much worse against lefties than they are righties. Their team OPS is 682 against lefties. It is 721 against righties.
So why not go Shota Boyd then? If that's the statistical, because you don't want to be sitting there having not thrown Cade Horton.
That's exactly right. Cade Horton being Bob Gibson or being Jake Arrieta, cut out the middleman and just call him Gibson. As we know, I love that. Cade Horton has earned a start in those first two games. You cannot have Cade Horton not end up getting a start. You will join like so many ignominious bits of Cubs history, like Jim Fry saving Rick Sutcliffe for a round. You know, you can't do that. Cade gets a start, and he will, and I think he'll start game two. I think it's Shota game one, and Cade game too. Then the question is, look, Jameson Taillon will be active and he'll be your backup bulk, you know, starter, ready to go if something happens to Shoto or something happens to Cade. I don't know that there's going to be a spot for both Javier Assad and Colin Ray as similar bulk options. I don't know, because you're going to want an extra
bat probably, right?
Maybe even two. Like, how many pitchers do you want? I don't think you need 13. It could be 12 on your 26-man roster. Could also be 11. If you got three starters plus Taillon and Assad, that's five. Still leaves you six other relievers. You know, do you need all three lefties out there? Do you need Taylor Rogers? He's not really in the circle of trust with the lefties. You know you need Thielbar. You know you need Pomerantz. And you know you need Keller and Kittredge. And we'll see if Palencia's back. And there's other guys we can talk about. But you don't need 13 pitchers. You're going to want those extra bats, maybe the extra speed guy, depending on how you want to do that, stuff like that. You want positional player flexibility over that 12th or 13th guy on your pitching staff.
Isn't Billy Hamilton in Iowa?
100%, dude. And that's an August 31st signing. Do you want Billy Hamilton? I mean, that's a signing for exactly this purpose. Do you want an automatic stolen base, a guy to score from first on a double?
It's a Quentin Berry signing for Quentin Berry. You know, like, you got your guy. Let me ask you this. Since Palencia is injured, how would you feel about either Taillon or Ray in the highest leverage situations in playoff games?
Yeah, I mean, I love that starters become available for this stuff down the stretch and in the playoffs. It's one of my absolute favorite things about baseball. But I'd rather see Brad Keller and Andrew Kittredge in big moments than I would a Taillon suddenly in that kind of moment. Or a Ray suddenly in that kind of moment. The guy who's shown an ability to be just as good out of the bullpen as he has been as a starter is Assad. As great as Colin Ray's season has been, I could see a scenario where he doesn't make the playoff roster. And I know great is as important as his season has been, is a better way to say it. I could see a scenario where he's left off the playoff roster.
It's interesting how the Kyle Tucker thing, either way, it is going to play a role in how the playoff roster is managed, because maybe you could DH Kyle Tucker and you can keep him from feeling uncomfortable, although he would still have to run while he's hitting, and running has been the issue with the calf injury. Maybe that is something that you say, all right, we have to have another extra position player in case he's not himself, or in case he injures himself. Yeah. If you don't get clarity, like, if it's still unclear, then I wonder what everyone's going to do with that whole situation. But even if it becomes clearer and you have a plan to DH him instead of playing him in right field, you got to figure out, maybe it's one less pitcher and one more position player because of it.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. Because if he is DH only and you got to have his bat, then say as an outfielder and you need a backup right fielder. So does that mean Owen Casey all of a sudden? Does it mean Alcantara because he can also back up in center?
Or does it mean like Billy Hamilton, because you're thinking, well, you know, late in the game, Kyle might get on base and we might actually need a run, and we might need someone who's got a run for him.
You're right. You're right. And if there's no Kyle, you're absolutely right. If there's no Kyle, then maybe Moises Ballesteros makes your team as a DH option and say is playing a lot of defense. I love Ballesteros' bat as a lefty. I think if there's no Tucker, you have to have Ballesteros' bat. That's the way that's working out to me. And we'll have time to discuss. And again, hit and run tomorrow between 2 and 5. I'll map this out again and have a chance to take calls and stuff like that. But I love this conversation with you, man, because I know how much you love playoff baseball and how much you dig how the strategy changes, and it can change from round to round.
Absolutely. That's why, like, a guy like Colin Ray, like, I can see him not making the roster because it's a three-game series with the idea being, well, he'll make the DS roster, though, if we make it that far. Like, there's a lot that Jed and Carter and Craig have got to figure out on how to make this thing work. And I hope that they choose right, man, because we could use a little bit of good in the Chicago sports world right now.
Yeah, we sure could. A texter asked, does Carlos Santana and Justin Turner both make the playoff roster? That's hard to picture. They're both in the lineup tonight, by the way, Santana and Turner.
I would imagine, I mean, you want Turner there for the vibes, but considering the rotation of the Padres, maybe Santana's the better choice. I need to go look at some splits.
Yeah, what I don't know is what was promised to Santana, who counsel called specifically and said, we need you here, when there were other teams involved. It could be a thing where they both make it, in which case that's bad news for Ballesteros, something like that, and you're going to see Santana up in some big spots.
We need to take a break. By the way, Olin Cruz is going to join us at 4 o'clock. I'm looking forward to talking about a whole bunch of stuff. We should talk about Ben here. We should talk about this job, Spiegs, and why it seems so damn hard. We'll do that next here on The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Spiegel and Holmes.
I'm just saying, Lawrence, you were saying some stuff last week, if my memory is correct.
That's why Danny left.
Afternoons on The Score.
We will talk to Olin Cruz in about 10 minutes. You do not want to miss it. Very much looking forward to talking with O as the Bears get ready to take on Dallas on the lakefront. Big portion of the country is going to be able to watch the Bears and the Cowboys. The 325 game. Tom Brady's going to be in the house. All of that good stuff.
Is he going to be in the coach's box? Is he just allowed to go coach's box to coach's box during the game now? It might as well.
I don't think he's going to be in the coach's box this time. I think
goodness gracious. Oh, my goodness gracious. Tom Brady's in the coach's box. I thought now, he can just go wherever the hell he wants. That's
well, he can, but I do think that he'll be sitting next to Kevin Burkhardt this time. And they'll break it all down for you and have thoughts on Caleb and Dak and everything else.
Wouldn't it be great if everybody's like, yeah, I'll talk to Tom. We'll tell Tom whatever he wants. Burkhardt, we're not telling you nothing. You get out of here.
I will say that I do like the idea, and I wonder if he was able to actually pull it off, because Ben was real honest with the public this week. So I wonder if he actually did go full like Mike McDaniel and went into coach speak while he was talking with the Fox people this week, so that they can't, Tom can't get anything to get ready for the game and being in the coach's box in Las Vegas next week.
How good would it be? How funny would it be for Fox TV to seriously put Brady like right near the coach's box and just shoot him up there, just like thumb their nose at the whole thing and laugh at the whole thing. Oh, Tom, what are you doing up there in the box? Oh, just checking it out, Kev. Just checking it out, seeing what's going on. I'll be back in the booth in a minute.
Give him a stick mic, have him walk on over.
From one box to the other.
He's standing next to DA. Like all of a sudden, he's like,
that's what I'm saying. And like, go ahead, lean into it. You have impunity. Nobody's going to stop you from doing anything.
No one's going to stop him from doing a damn thing.
A damn thing. So, Lawrence, at halftime, send Brady down with a stick mic and have him on the sideline looking over Caleb's shoulder,
How about this week? This week, Brady does the third quarter interview with Ben Johnson. Hey, I wasn't expecting to see you. Hey, I had some more questions about some of the stuff that we talked about this week, Ben, at the facility.
Ben, I was actually in there. I was in there with you.
I was
and
in the
team.
Locker room. I heard you say. that Matt Eberflus's drop seven strategy is giving you guys problems. Do you imagine that next week against the Raiders, it will also still give your quarterback problems?
And then as Ben's running away, all right, see you next week. You need anything, let me know. Let me know. You need anything. We'll all be good. Nobody's going to tell Tom Brady anything. All right, talk to me about Ben Johnson and how difficult this task seems to be.
Well, when we went over this stuff with Dan Wiederer, or we talked to, as a five-pack during transition, the stuff that we're going to talk to with Olin in a few minutes, I do wonder if in an honest moment, Ben Johnson is like, I thought this would be difficult. I didn't think it would be this type of difficult this soon inside of the process. And why does the Bears job just got to be so damn hard? That's what I keep trying. Like, it doesn't matter who puts the cap on.
Yeah.
Whoever puts the cap on, Spiegs, it just seems to be so difficult.
I love this concept. And you and I both have an adoration for Terry Bors. And he said it about Cubs managers, that putting the Cubs hat on drops your IQ by 20 points. It's just, boom, automatically there's something in the Cubs hat that affects the IQ directly in that way. And I love that as a concept. I think it's more true about the Bears podium than it is about the Cubs hat. Like, just getting up there, it seems to be the case. Now, I think it's because you come face to face with the decades of dysfunction within the organization that slowly have to unpack. It's sort of like Rick Hahn had great intentions to clean up the White Sox and do a rebuild, but there was so much to do that he was only able to do so much, and then there were organizational stoppers that kept him from doing everything he needed to do. Like, they didn't want to spend on the pro scouting upgrade, so that didn't happen until later. They wouldn't let him choose the manager, so that didn't happen until later. I don't know exactly what it is that is going to hold Ben back. But remember, Ryan Pace did some massive, you know, restructuring of their facilities and moving things forward. And Poles did some things to move things forward. But there's still so much waste and mismanagement within the org that you get stopped. And all of a sudden, you realize it's bigger than you think.
That's the scary part. And you're right about Pace. Like, they owe him, I mean, forget about the football for a second. What he did to Hallis Hall was amazing. He made it a top-tier facility. Like, that place is great, which is why I think that they have to go to Arlington Heights, because their stadium should match what they have at Hallis Hall. You shouldn't downgrade going to your stadium from your facility. And in a lot of ways, the Bears do, with all of the improvements that have been made on their campus. But it just seems like that even when you want things to go well, there's like one little thing that you're like, I don't know. Like, for example, you didn't really have to give Ryan Poles an extension. You could have let some of this stuff play out and see how these two guys actually work together. When you're trying to figure that out in January, February, March, April, you're looking at it from the standpoint of, this is an experiment. Now we're seeing, how do you guys work together? And it just feels like, oh man, is this what, because look, and you can check with your sources, because I know you had great sources on Ben. I was told, not this past year, but the year before, that Ben wanted nothing to do with the Bears job. And that's why, and that's why he went back to Detroit to kind of finish what he started, and because things are out there. And I know that one of the things that changes for you is that you can watch the tape on Caleb as a pro and figure out if you can get him. It just feels like, my goodness, it's harder than it has to be.
Yeah, well, my sources on Ben confirm exactly what you thought from 2 years ago. What changed is that Kevin Warren got an ownership's ear and made them realize, and we talked about this in the offseason, made them realize they needed to let the head coach have all the power and pay him for such in the way that matters. And he does have that power now. There's just still things to do. And you know, look, Dan Wiederer said it very clearly when we brought the topic to him earlier in the hour about the drafting of Ozzie Trapillo. Ben had just gotten here at the time of the draft. So updating that draft board and being able to win every conversation on the draft board, and we'll disagree with this and we'll have time. I just don't think it's binary. I think that Ozzy and some other ones, and we don't know exactly which ones, do go to the GM. A few of them do go to the GM. But either way, part of what he has to undo is the years of decisions. The years of decisions that have led you to this. And Ryan Poles getting extended looks to be something that might end up in the way of doing what he actually wants to do. Right now, it feels like that could be a problem when it didn't need to be done necessarily.
Let's talk with Olin Krutz about everything Bears next on The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.